ASI is a ministry that's networking all these different ministries together with the church.
Being involved with ASI, meeting other people.
ASI Convention is an excellent opportunity, just a great opportunity.
People that are in ASI, there's a particular fellowship.
ASI is really the stamp. It's the glue that holds all the ministries together.
Welcome to ASI Video Magazine. I'm Dan Houghton. ASI members are people and organizations committed to sharing Christ in the marketplace. ASI members are people known for their humble and loving service, people who constantly look for ways to help others. Today we're going to meet two members of ASI that are involved in Christian service both at home and thousands of miles away. Heritage Academy is an ASI member boarding school in Monterey, Tennessee. The school has made service a paramount part of its program. Among their service activities, Heritage students work as call porters and participate in the school's aviation ministry. An area of particular emphasis is disaster relief, and Heritage students have been involved in a variety of disaster relief projects across North America.
Everybody smile, pray, with a big in the hand, and pass those cards. Okay. God bless you. Bye-bye. God bless. This is funny. He's sitting there for 2 hours. He's driving with me from Heritage. This one is funny. He's canvassing with us today.
I worked in Europe in Czech Republic as a full-time call porter for 8 years, and now 5 years here in the United States. With the students, with those mega books we use.
Let me show. This is Peace Out of the Storm. Original version, Steps to Christ, actually.
We sold almost 4,000 pieces of the Steps to Christ, the small version, the Happiness Digest. And I can tell you, it was such a book, the little book that I bought 17 years ago in my country and brought me to Christianity.
Then we have Desire of Ages from Ellen G. White.
It's one of the best means I see for today's church, how to help us to get out of our shell from our churches. You know, don't be hidden just in nice pews in the church, but to really work face to face.
Okay, good job, Rachel. Okay, keep going. And you meet Derek, okay? There's Derek working towards you. Everything. Do you have those flyers? All right, GB.
You know, the kids, it's hard. It's really frontline ministry.
We work in every weather, every day, no matter the weather, no matter if it's dry or hot or if it's raining or snowing, freezing.
This school is first and foremost focused on preparing these students to go out and serve in the mission field, wherever God calls them.
They see how what they do on a day-to-day basis has lasting results.
It's really not a job. It is definitely a life.
When they have somebody at the door who's challenging their faith, you know, maybe the person is an atheist or maybe they're from a different religion, and they're questioning, you know, what do you as an Adventist believe? That is so much different than a Bible class.
There are also students that come as a freshman to school and they don't want to be involved in the canvassing work. They would rather cut the woods or do something else. But when they try it and they go with the experienced ones, they see, man, it's something really good, you know? It's doing good things for the people, nothing wrong. It's not pushing the people. And they start liking it.
Well, what I liked mostly about this school is that it has a very spiritual environment. It's something very helpful if you want to grow a stronger relationship with God. They give you a lot of opportunities. Like, you do a lot of call-portering and, like, different, we try to give out Bible studies and things like that. On Sabbaths, we can go out to the nursing home, sing to the people there, and we try to do a lot of ministry. So, and we do on disaster response with ACTS.
Right after the hurricane came through, they were going door to door, talking to people at their homes and doing damage assessment for FEMA.
We are first responders to any natural disasters, so if there's any disaster, we just recently went to Florida and Texas, so because of the hurricanes and the tropical storms.
And entering in data in these little cell phone-like devices that uploaded to the database mm-hmm. that FEMA has in Washington. Other students got to work in one of the mobile kitchens.
Distribution line.
Right, and then there was a phone center there as well.
That's true.
Students were working at.
And we walked away from that saying, you know, we need to be better trained. And so all of our students, by design, are trained in first aid and CPR through the American Red Cross. And all of them are trained through what's called CERT 100, which is Community Emergency Response Teams. And they all have a hard hat and a vest that's recognized by any government or FEMA organization anywhere in the country. So because we're a boarding school, these kids go home, and who knows what might happen in their neighborhood, but they're trained. And by the training that they've had and the way that they can help, they can hit the ground running in any kind of disaster and be a leader.
We've refocused this school on Ellen White's principles that she spoke of in the book Education, that it's an equal balance between academics, spiritual, and vocational.
Our students spend their school day, part of their day they're in class, part of their day they're in a vocational area, mm-hmm. part of the day we're having worship, they're having personal devotions, and so we are intentionally educating in all of those areas to develop the whole person.
All the students here on campus work. There's a lot of different vocational areas, like we have kitchen, we have grounds, we have office work, school cleaning, dorm cleaning, coal portering, and video productions.
We have greenhouses where our freshmen have a class in agriculture, so they get their own little plot of land and they get to pick what they grow and they weed it and they care for it and then they harvest it and we all get to eat it in the cafeteria and they get excited because that's what they made.
This is where all our meals are prepared. We have our cook here, Miss Linda. She's the one who prepares our delicious meals at the school.
I always get the opinion of the kids because their opinion is very important to me. If I can make something better, I'm sure they'll do it. I like to see my food eat, not throw it away.
Well, I think that we've really been blessed that we have 1,200 beautiful acres in Tennessee. And 600 of it is woodlands, and 600 of it is tillable acreage. We have beautiful overlooks, lots of really neat terrain to take kids. We involve them in outdoor activities, in biology.
This is our outdoor classroom. This is where some teachers come out and do their classes sometimes. Like, there's like a lot of chairs and tables down there, so you can actually sit down, or if you want to come out for devotionals or anything, you can come out and just sit out under the trees, under the shade, and on those tables with your friends if you would like. This here is our school building and office building. This is where we take most of all of our classes. We have a lab here where we do our chemistry and physics lab reports and things like that. We also have our own computer lab with new computers that we just got also.
And we take the students a lot of places where they have hands-on learning experience. For example, last week we had our junior class up in Battle Creek, Michigan at the historic Adventist Village. And so they're having hands-on experiences with the heritage of the Adventist movement. And that's something that we feel is really important in education, is that that education be connected to life. And it makes the things that students study then much more meaningful.
The girls, one of their vocational training programs is cooking. For the guys, one of their vocational programs is in my wife's class, learning construction, where they actually go out on the campus and they build things like decks, ponds, sidewalks. And it's exciting because now they are taking the tape measure that they learned how to read their freshman year. They're learning these formulas their freshman year, and they are using them in a practical situation their sophomore year.
We don't have regular desks. We have tables in our classroom. Mm-hmm. And that's because we use a variety of education techniques to teach students to work as a group, to mm-hmm. think as a group, and work together.
Then, by the time they graduate, they have skills to offer right out of high school to earn money towards college or to go straight to the mission field.
Well, ASI has been such a blessing in so many ways. We've been able to take some of our students down to help in the children's divisions, to be able to lead out and to care for them. And because a lot of ASI members bring their children, and there needs to be ministry for them as well. They also have the chance when the meetings are over to walk into this huge exhibit hall and see that they are a part of a worldwide church, not just a little part of a church either right here in the Middle Tennessee or in their own little hometown, but a worldwide church where the Holy Spirit is moving and living and breathing.
ASI has a lot to do with why we have a flight program.
Don Starlin sent us an email that somebody had made a donation for us to have a plane. And, you know, the Lord brought to us a couple years before that a pilot who wanted to teach history.
And then the airplane was delivered this past June, and the program started this fall. I've set up a course that if a student wants to go at age 18, they graduate from Heritage, go straight to the mission field with their commercial pilot's license. We have a program structured for that. They start flying as a sophomore. They receive their private pilot license when they turn 17. They receive their commercial license when they turn 18, at which point they can go straight to the mission field.
The idea, and it probably sounds crazy the way I express it, but the idea is to put together a school that's really being led by the students. And we do it in a number of ways. Our yearbook editor is a student. We have a student who's leading out in our video production group. We have the members of the SA regularly. I put them in charge of things and tell them, you know, to go do things, organize recreation or activities, and you know, that way they're making the decisions, they're thinking, and that's really the goal. Last year there was a student who was sharing with me, and she was a senior, and she said, when I came to this school, I looked at the juniors and seniors, and I said to myself, they're so big, and they're so smart, and they're such great leaders, and just, you know, she had trouble ever imagining herself growing up into that role. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, at graduation, she spoke about that in her senior speech, about now she had become all of these things over the course of her time here. And that's, you know, that's the big thing, is that, you know, you're developing a Christian character, you're developing leadership, you're developing decision-making, cooperative abilities to be able to work with other people.
ASI, like Heritage Academy, firmly believes in involving youth in service and outreach. There's no better time to be nourishing a love of Jesus and our fellow man in our young people through acts of humble service. For more information about Heritage Academy, call 931-839-6675 or visit www.heritagetn.org. ASI is committed to effective evangelism. To that end, we're sponsoring a Train Them Now, a program that trains lay people to conduct evangelistic meetings in their homes using the New Beginnings DVDs. Around the world, more than 20,000 people have been trained so far, and they in turn have held over 100,000 evangelistic meetings, resulting in tens of thousands of baptisms.
When you come to ASI, you have an opportunity to network with other individuals of like-mindedness.
ASI has helped me meet many, many other professionals.
Rubbing shoulders and hanging out with people that are committed to the Lord's soon coming.
You need to come to ASI. Just network and hear the testimonies, because it will change your life. It really will.
You and I couldn't go very long without water. Quite simply, we need water to live. In the same way, we need the living water of Jesus Christ. To truly have life, Jesus is the only answer. Gary Bartholomew owns a water well service business in Spokane, Washington. On a daily basis, he is able to share this analogy with customers and tell them about Jesus.
There's 15,000 people every day that die worldwide because of bad water or the lack of water.
Any faucet that we go to, it may have a little chlorine in it and we don't like the taste, but it isn't going to kill us or give us amoeba or hepatitis or any of these nasty diseases.
And another way of saying that is that 80% of the hospital beds in the world are filled with people from waterborne diseases or from the lack of water.
We have one village that had just kind of a little pond type thing that they got their water from. You wouldn't let your animals drink out of this water. I mean, it is just absolutely gross, and people were dying because of it.
So I'm able to share that in my business, and it brings some very rewarding conversations. It takes those people's minds off their poor troubles that, oh boy, I don't have water this morning. And it allows me to share this dynamic ministry, and sometimes a lot of books or literature. Our ministry is Water for Life International. And it got started basically from my wife and I going to Guatemala for the last 12 years. 4 years ago, we started drilling wells in Guatemala. It's a beauty from ashes story. We hired a contractor in Guatemala to drill a well for International Children's Care Orphanage there. He spent 7 months, went about 200 feet, told us we had 300 gallons a minute, we'd never use all that water.
And when we got down there and put a pump in it, we had nothing. We had less than 3 gallons a minute and it was contaminated water. We decided, well, we come from a drilling family, drilling background, let's try it ourselves.
So we started drilling 4 years ago. What we began with was providing safe water for the orphanage and school there.
And just miracle after miracle from there on has brought us to where we are today with 2 drill rigs, a pump truck, and a lot of other equipment down there. We have a shop down there now, and this pickup is actually going down this winter. He's going to be driven down towing a trailer to the project.
Now we're drilling in surrounding villages, clinics. This year we hope to do another orphanage in El Salvador and a hospital in Belize, and more wells right around the orphanage and school there. It's a third world country that doesn't have much for water systems, so typically it's come out of the river and that's where it still comes from. Of course, all the villages upstream from the source, use the river for their waste also, and so the further the river goes, the more contaminated it is, and it looks like water, but it's water and a lot of parasites, a lot of problems.
We started out with a differential out of an 89 Lincoln. Town car because it had about the right gear ratio, and then modified the pinions so that we could get an eccentric vertical lift.
Now they have a hand pump. They have no electricity, so they can't run an electrical pump, but they have actually a merry-go-round pump is what we've put on their well. And when they play on the merry-go-round, it pumps them water.
In the beginning, it was, it was novel and it was new, and there were a lot of kids just playing on it.
Also, we don't just provide safe water. We provide the water of life. We do a lot of sharing of the gospel, and we've seen scores of baptisms. Very rewarding.
I work with the drilling part of things to a degree, but I've been consumed more in the last few years with the evangelistic side of things.
That's how we open the door, though, is to get them clean water, show the people that we're there to help them, show them that we care about them, and then they're willing to listen to really, truly what we're down there for, and that is tell them and give them the true water of life.
I was in India doing some drilling 25 years ago. And I'd start up the drill rig that in the morning, and within a few moments, I'd have 300 or 400 people standing around that drill rig. And I had the impression that, oh, if only I could have a picture roll. I wanted anything to tell these poor people how it was that they could get the scabs out of their hair, or they could get the flies off their face and whatever else. And I vowed right there in my own heart that I would never work overseas again if I couldn't tell the people about Jesus.
A 12-year-old boy from our church does a series of meetings each year. He's done it 2 years. He'll be going again this year.
I went and I preached the first meeting, and afterwards, a young woman came up to me and she looked about 6 months pregnant. And through the translator, I learned that she had been in a car and bus wreck, and it had squeezed her abdomen and she had few fluids leaking inside of her. So we knelt down there in my building and we prayed for her.
She says, I'm leaving tomorrow to go to Guatemala City. The doctors are insisting I come down for my second surgery.
They're gonna take out part of my colon, part of my pancreas, part of my, just a lot of her abdomen stuff so it wouldn't leak. And she said, there's a 50% chance that I am going to die or live.
She came back in just a few days. She says, I didn't have to have surgery.
And about the next night, she was there. There she was, flat stomach and all, and I was amazed.
And she came back to say thank you to that 12-year-old boy and to the Lord. She was healed.
To watch those people respond to Christ when presented with people from a few years old to 80 years old, it doesn't seem to matter. I haven't seen a failure yet.
It's what the Lord taught us to do. It's what He came here and did, was took care of people's physical needs. And then they were able to talk spiritual things, and that's extremely satisfying.
Their health has improved. The medical bills went down 60% in the first year at the orphanage, just by having safe water. And we see a lot of parasite problems, a lot of death from that. And with safe water, it just makes a difference between night and day. ASI has shown me, and I'm a person that learns by example. I see something and I learn that. And they have shown me, they have modeled to me, sharing Christ.
It is just, more fun than a barrel of monkeys to come and be able to see people that are witnessing in their marketplace, that are sharing Christ in their marketplace.
The networking that we experience at ASI conventions is something we can't get anywhere else, because we see other people that may have a ministry, and maybe they're just across the border in another country, or we see people that would love to go learn how to drill a well, or we see people that would like to go help build a church or do some sharing of the gospel in an evangelistic series. And we see people that print literature, Spanish books or literature that we take down. We took 9,000 pounds of literature last year in our container when we shipped it. And so this year we're taking Bibles, Spanish Bibles, and literature, little message books. And so all of these things we find at ASI conventions, and I don't know of any other place we could find that.
A dozen years ago, I started being more active in the drilling associations in the different states, and I could never really understand, and I asked myself, what in the world am I going to play golf with, or on a camp out with a bunch of well drillers, because the industry looks at some of these people as dirty all the time, and some of them have language similar and this kind of thing, and we put people in a box. I have found a willingness among the drillers, among the manufacturers. Some of these people, I have called them up from Guatemala and said, this is our problem. And he says, do I understand you're doing mission work down there? I said, yes. He says, I'm prepared to donate this if you'll do the freight on it.
There's pump suppliers that supply pump and pipe and wire. There's electrical suppliers that supply electrical things. There's well drill suppliers that supply tools and bits, things that are expendable. And those people are just, they're happy to help. They want to help. And that encourages me.
And I have seen people that I thought were in a box, and the Lord has showed me I was wrong.
You know, I do water well pump systems, and so I'm involved with water in my everyday work. Now, I'm finding it harder and harder to separate my ministry and my everyday work. To me, they're one. It allows me to share this dynamic ministry, and sometimes a lot of books or literature. One of my favorite books is Child of the Crossfire, because it's about a boy in Guatemala that actually ended up at that orphanage, and his dad was part of the guerrilla forces, and so the government captured him, killed his dad, and then wanted to get information out of him. And then the General Lucas was flying over this devastated village, taking this boy to the orphanage, he looked down, he saw a little girl in the garbage dump at the edge of the village, the only form of life left that he could see. He landed right there, picked her up, and took her with him to the orphanage. And we adopted that girl in 1985, and that's our daughter. And so that book talks about that. And so I've shared a lot of those books with people, because it also has the wonderful Sabbath message, because the Sabbath is part of the program at the International Children's Care Orphanage. And it has just lots of good promises and a good message. Our focus is on reaching out to others. And in my mind, that's made a healthy difference in our church. It's working like the Lord said it would. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And I can see it. When I first started going down, I thought, wow, a couple weeks, that's quite a bit of time to take. Well, last year I took 2 months, and it's feeling better all the time.
What a wonderful example of sharing Christ in the marketplace. Stories like Gary's inspire me to get out of my comfort zone and witness to those around me. If you'd like to hear more testimonies like Gary's, I encourage you to come to the ASI convention. It's filled with stories of people being used by God to reach others both at home and around the world. Find out more at www.asiministries.org. You've been watching ASI Video Magazine. I'm Dan Houghton. Join me next time for more stories of ASI members sharing Christ in the marketplace. May God be with you.